Stang Gang podcast time. And time to talk about women's basketball with Bernita Jackson. I'm Pete Stein. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast and join us every week to listen to Bernita talk about the Mustangs. And I think it's going to be a really fun season based on what we saw at DL Ligon Coliseum this past weekend. I know you're off to an 0-2 start. It's not the record you want. Mm-hmm. But as we said when you went to Austin, there was a lot of positive things to take out of what you saw last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, lots of positives to take out. Anytime you're trying to change a culture, it's more so changing the mindset. And so we're right in the thick of things. Like, we feel really good about some of the things that we've seen progress on in just the first few weeks. So we're just going to keep getting better and focusing on the process and making sure that they understand that results can't be our focus right now. It's got to be doing a lot of little things well consistently over time, and results just come.
Let's talk about the first game against Colorado Springs, because in the first quarter, you're right in it. Mm-hmm. And then they go on a big run in the second quarter, and you're never quite able to recover from that. What happened in that second quarter?
Second quarter, they started shooting it really well from the three-point line. I can't recall exactly the stat, but I want to say they were probably north of 50% from behind the arc, which is rare, not just for them, for any team.
Right.
Anybody shooting 50% from behind the arc. So hats off to those kids for knocking down shots. But that's a shot
you're going to be willing to give up,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. I mean, and it just happened. So our kids had to adjust, and we did. We couldn't ever get the ball to fall in our favor. We were getting all the shots we wanted right in the flow of what we normally do. And so then frustration starts settling in when you're seeing your shot not go in and theirs is going in. So it's one of those nights. I mean, you got to learn how to grind through stuff like that and figure out how to take away what they're getting hot on, which we adjusted to. But, I mean, they shot the ball very well for it to be the first game of the season.
Yeah, they shot lights out. And like you say, the ball wouldn't fall in the basket for Midwestern State. So it's a little bit of a lopsided score, but I don't think indicative of the way your team played.
Not at all. But there were some things that we kind of noticed. Like, we got 10 more field goal attempts than they did.
And you got to the free throw line
more and just couldn't. I mean, shots that we hit every single day in practice that they come in and get extra work in. So it was just frustrating for them. But at the same time, you know, that's just a part of the game. Like, you got to keep playing through stuff like that. You got to find a way to still will the ball into the hole and stop the other team from getting the ball in the hole. So they're learning that, and they're learning that, you know, you still have control if you stay focused on little things that we talk about.
So after losing that opener, 83-65, you turn around the next day, you play Adams State. Mm-hmm. And the first three quarters of that game, pretty electric, pretty entertaining women's basketball, mm-hmm. pretty entertaining basketball, period, women or men. But you end up losing that game 102-84 as they pull away in the fourth quarter. Did you just run out of gas in the fourth quarter, or what was your impression of how that game unfolded?
I don't believe we ran out of gas. Our kids just in the fourth quarter, again, we're still learning how to win. And when you're not used to executing all the way through to an end of a ball game, that's something that sometimes has to be taught in those moments through losses against a team who has won already. They have already figured out how to put together four good quality quarters. So for us, we had opportunities, we just didn't capitalize on them. I mean, if you look at the first few possessions of the fourth quarter, I mean, we were up, we were not scoring, we had too many empty offensive possessions, we were getting steals and not converting on them. So we had opportunities, we just didn't capitalize on them. So our goal moving forward is finishing. So they're doing the work, positioning themselves to get opportunities. Now they just need to learn how to finish.
In that Saturday game, we saw one of the great individual performances maybe in the history of Ligon Coliseum, and I'm not exaggerating, what Zaria Carter did. Mm-hmm. I think it was 32 points and 18 rebounds.
Yes.
That's a pretty impressive game. If there was any question about whether or not she was going to be able to make the adjustment to NCAA Division II, mm-hmm. doesn't appear like it's going to be a problem.
No, she'll be fine. One of the things I loved about seeing her in that game was Friday after we lost, she came running into my office and wanted to ask how she could get better and how she could help her team. She knew something was off, but she also knew that I could help her. So we watched film that night, And then the next morning in shoot around, she was very intentional about those very small adjustments. And she did it, and it worked, and it benefited her. So we use her as a teaching tool to the rest of the team. Like, hey, listen, you can't run from coaching, because coaching benefits you, which then benefits us. And she's a product of that. She's got the right mindset. She works at it. And I believe that she's going to be, you know, a good, huge piece for us inside for the rest of this season. I always believe that. But for sure, her coming in with that hunger to get better from Friday to Saturday. Yeah, it doesn't take a whole week for you to adjust. And it shouldn't be a coach always coming to you. The fact that she sought me out lets you know she's hungry, she's competitive, and she wasn't pleased with her performance on Friday.
I mean, the only mistake she might have made, the level of expectation for her now is going to be through the
Everybody's
roof.
Everybody's expecting it now.
People are going to expect that night in and night out. And I don't expect her to put up those kind of numbers night in and night out, because that would be remarkable. Mm-hmm. But I think we see what type of player. And I think Midwestern State fans are the beneficiary of the foundation you laid with her at Texas Wesleyan, because she's really – she's an upperclassman now.
Right.
So she's ready to take that next step.
She is. And a nice thing about a player like her, and even Amos starting to get into their groove, is people will start trying to game plan and double team them, which opens up wide open opportunities for others. They just got to be ready to step up and knock shots down. But no, I was very proud of her, very pleased to see her individual performance. And I feel like she still got a lot of room to grow and even get better. So we're excited to see where all she goes for the rest of this season.
There is reason to be excited. And you mentioned Curtisa Amos, and she got overshadowed a little bit by Carter's performance, but she played really well also.
She did. She's kind of a 3-4 player for us. We play her some out on the wing and some inside. And I mean, she's just so explosive. She gets to the rim at will. She can pull up and shoot. And I mean, she's for us somebody that we can depend on to get us just easy baskets, easy defensive stops too, because she's one of our best defenders as well.
I wanted to ask you something about her, because in both games she seemed like she got off to a fast start. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of her reputation?
Oh yeah, she's one. She gets off to a fast start even in practice. You know, we've got to tell the rest of them to catch up to her, which is fun. It's nice to be around. Her biggest adjustment is she's gonna have to stay out of foul trouble. Because Friday we could have played her more, but her minutes were limited due to foul trouble. But if you look at her stats, if I'm not mistaken, she scored maybe 16 points in 17 minutes or 17 points in 16 minutes, something like that.
She did. She had a really efficient day out there.
And she was on try. I said, if you would have stayed out of foul trouble, you could have easily scored 30. I mean, that would have been what she was doing, because she was on pace to do it.
And it would have changed that game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So she's making the adjustments. We're talking to everybody about, you know, just guarding your yard and keeping your girl in front so Tisa doesn't feel like she got to step over all the time. But even her, she just got to be disciplined with not trying to – she just wants to be a hero all the time and stop every play, and you can't. And in some cases, it works out, and she gets a steal and goes to score. And in other cases, she hears a whistle. So she's learning how to adjust. But no, she's fast starter, very explosive. I mean, hungry. You never have to wonder, is her motor on? It's always on. So you'll enjoy watching her play, because she hasn't even tapped into all that she can do too.
So when you say guarding your yard, mm-hmm. what does that mean to a layman?
It means like whoever's right in front of you. So if you are guarding the point guard, keep her right in front of you, guard your yard. And that way, if you guard your yard, nobody has to step over and help you out. So if you get beat because you're not guarding your yard, then somebody else has to step over and help. Now we're in rotations. And then it's usually, you know, our post players that have to rotate over and usually, you know, end up with a foul if they aren't smart. But if you just guard whoever is in front of you, I mean, that helps us as a whole, as a unit, not have to rotate so much. So we're working on that. I feel like they're buying into it and getting better. It's little things for us. A lot of little things and a lot of focus on details.
So we're still early, but you got those two players averaging double figures, and then Nikki Green's right there. She's averaging 9.5 points a game, and I just feel like she can shoot better than what we saw this past weekend. And I'm basing that on one game, what we saw in Austin, and you know, I poke my head in at practice every once in a while too.
Yes.
She can shoot.
She can shoot. Her biggest thing right now is just mechanics, and then also too, trying to get her wind back. She kind of been battling with some injuries, which that always impacts you when you miss reps in conditioning. So she's
it has to do with your legs, right?
Yes.
Shooting has a lot to do with
absolutely.
Your legs.
Absolutely. So she'll get stronger, she'll get into better shape, and so she'll start making more shots. But she's doing pretty well for this to be, you know, her first couple of games back after a year off from an injury. So she's doing well.
I was also anxious to get your impression of a couple of the returners mm-hmm. that are listeners are most familiar with,
yes.
Eternity Jackson and Markayla Johnson. What was your thought about the way they played in your first chance to see them in live game action?
Live game, yeah. I would say both of them are doing really well within the flow of what we do. They're still learning. That's one of the things that we talk to Markayla in turn about all the time. They just feel like, you know, it's a lot of information to learn and a lot of new language because we speak with – every coach has kind of their
right.
own language, if you will. So they're learning a lot, but they are very hungry to come in and watch film and try to grow and develop outside of practices, which is good. Like, I just walked through the gym and Markayla's in there shooting right now. So
well, you got a lot of gym rats on this team, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get in the gym and they'll, like, text, you know, RGA, all the kinds, weekend hours, after hours, can we get in and shoot, please, let us in. So that's exciting to hear as a coach because, you know, that means that they want to get better, and that makes a difference.
And I know Eternity's always been that way.
Absolutely.
And I've been watching her now for a long time, but she loves to get in the gym and
absolutely.
Shoot. And it paid off for her in that first game. She scored 12 points in that opening game. I thought she played pretty well.
She did. She played pretty well that first night. She came in. She was kind of getting in the rhythm within the flow of what we do. I thought Saturday maybe a little too anxious, probably because she had a good game Friday night. And we talked about that, and she made the adjustments. But she'll get going. Like, she'll start to figure out the right, you know, time to take those shots. But you never question her energy, her attitude, her focus, like her mindset. She wants to be here. She wants to make us better. And she does. Just having her around makes everybody better. She's always checking on her teammates. How you doing? You know, keep your head up. You all right? You just got to do this. You know, she's just a coach's dream to coach because you don't have to worry about her attitude or does she care to win? You know, is she coachable? She is. She's all those things. But we love having her around. And I think this week she'll kind of settle in and based on what I've been looking at in practices, start being a little more consistent with when, knowing when and how to take the shots we want. And then she'll knock them down. She's just such a great shooter. So.
And then Markayla, we all know her as just a tenacious defender. Is that what you've seen from her?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She is. She's definitely that. The nice thing about her is she can guard 1 through 5.
Yeah, right?
It doesn't matter if you put her on a guard, a post, she's going to get after you, move those feet, and we love it. She had a nice little one in the game versus Adams State, which I was excited to see her do that because she normally doesn't like to score. She is just the ultimate team player. She wants to find her teammates moving, and she's a good passer too. So I was glad to see her get that offensive rebound and finish and get the and ones. I was like, good, Markayla, good.
So I'm guessing that's a big part of what you want to see from the team is getting to the free throw line because I think you took 47 free throws in that opening game.
Mm-hmm. We would like to. I mean, that's not something that we necessarily talk about, but we know it's going to happen with our style of play. We play upbeat. We play fast. I mean, we like to be aggressive, but it's not something that we talk about. I talk about finishing because I feel like the whistle and the free throws are like the icing on the cake, but the basics needs to be you finish with contact. So we have the pads out and we're giving them contact and putting them in tight spaces, and they got to square up, stay on balance, and finish.
I know we're still really early, and I'm not trying to get you in trouble at all here, but do you see any difference between the officiating in these first couple of games than what you saw at Texas Wesleyan?
I have. I mean, there is definitely a difference. And then another thing that I've been adjusting to is just all the media timeouts. We didn't have that. So
I talked to Kevin about that. In fact, we talked to during the halftime of a football game, and he was like, yeah, we got to get used to the media timeouts. But I would think, given your pace of play, mm-hmm. those are going to be welcome breaks for you.
Well, not necessarily us, because we like to keep running, and it gives the other team a breather.
It gives the other team a break. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that aspect.
So we've been adjusting to that part of it. But even with that being said, there's adjustments for us to make as well. I mean, the officials are different. I would say they communicate a lot more. They seem to at least – listen and tell you what's going on. Because my biggest thing as a coach is if you share with me what you saw, I can adjust and tell the players. But if you don't come and talk to me and tell me what you saw, I don't know what you saw. And from my angle, it looked like one thing. And obviously from your angle, it looked like something else. So the fact that they communicate is beneficial to us as a team to get better. So I appreciate it. And I've been talking to the girls and then teaching them about it's not how you saw it. It's about how they saw it. And if they saw it a different way, then you've got to adjust. Otherwise, you're going to be out the game with a bunch of fouls.
What do you think your memory is going to be of your first experience as a head coach at Midwestern State and at D.L. Ligon Coliseum?
I would say probably what you said earlier, just the energy. Like, everybody is just so excited, enthused, and, you know, looking forward to what the future can be. Even though we didn't get, like I say, the results we wanted, I feel like we're heading in the right direction. And so from that perspective, I think it's going to be something that Mustang fans can be proud of. Even the workers, the employees, the students, everybody can say, hey, we're going to come to this game and watch these girls compete, get after it. And so I'm remembering those types of things.
You got your first road trip coming up. Now you play Southeastern Oklahoma. What are you expecting out of that matchup?
I think it'll be a good test for us on the road again. Southeastern Oklahoma is 1-1 right now. They're very, very explosive team from what I watched. They made adjustments from one night to the next as well. They won in, I think, double overtime against Winona State. And so that was on the road for them. So they figured out how to put it together on the road. And so they're going to be looking for their first home win. And they're going to run their motion offense. They shot, if I'm not mistaken, 37 threes in that win that they had. So we're going to have to guard the three-point line. We can't have the same defense we had against Colorado Springs. We're going to have to get out, close out, and get them off that three-point line, because if they get hot, it's going to be dangerous.
That's Bernita Jackson, the women's head coach here at Midwestern State University. We're going to do these podcasts every week. Be sure to tell your friends. Thanks for listening. I'm Pete Stein. So long.